Welcome to this episode of Stories to Dismember. I am your host, Aaron, and I am hanging out with my two co-hosts, Ariel and Azriel. Hey, hey, what's up?
Hey.
You guys want to get high? What's up, what's up?
Want to go tripping?
Let's go trip in the woods.
You guys want to go mushroom hunting?
Shroom hunting? I don't think I've ever been shroom hunting.
Not yet.
Oh, but have you lived is the real question.
Right.
So if you're wondering, like I am, we are doing the 2007 movie Shrooms, picked by our very own Ariel.
So I did some research for this episode. I actually went in my backyard and I found some shrooms, but I didn't eat them. I didn't eat them.
Well, I mean, you do know your shrooms, right? You
are, No, I don't.
You don't know your shrooms?
I don't know. I mean, I know some shrooms, but because, you know, I'm a plant nerd and whatnot. I know so much about shrooms that I just don't take the risk of trying to think that I can identify them because they're very hard to identify.
We are doing the 2007 movie Shrooms, which is a comedy horror mystery. Would you say? You have any insight on the movie, Ariel?
I don't have any like premonitions or foresight on the movie, but I think this is more. It's not even a comedy. I wouldn't say it's a comedy. There is one very funny part, and I think it's a comedy in the sense where the characters are very stereotypical and very stupid, some of them. But I don't know. I think it's a little bit darker than that.
Okay. Well,
what do you guys think? Do you guys think it's more of a comedy?
I wouldn't classify it as a comedy.
I just feel like there's comedic bits for like relief, but it's not really supposed to be intentionally funny, except the cow part.
Yeah, that was funny.
That part was intentionally funny.
Hopefully.
All right. I think we're ready to jump into the movie.
Yeah. So I'll just go over like some of the cast here.
Okay.
Some of these people I recognize. Some of them I have only seen in this film. This is an Irish made movie. So it was made by an Irish production company. But surprisingly, I don't think a lot of these people are Irish. I think some of them are probably American or maybe British. But the main character, Tara, is Lindsay Hahn. And I recognize her from a Disney movie called The Color of Friendship. She was also in True Blood. And that is all I recognize her in. And then this movie. Jack Huston plays Jake. And I think he's in... like Boardwalk Empire. He's in a lot of stuff, but he's mainly in like shows and movies, but he's not like a supporting role or lead role or anything like that. But he does have a familiar face. There is also somebody in here that I did not recognize until I looked up the cast just now. Jack Gleason plays the Lonely Twin, and Jack Gleason played Joffrey in Game of Thrones. So.
Huh. Most hated guy on the show, right?
He what?
He was the most hated guy on the show, right?
He was the most, yeah. He was so most hated that he decided to quit acting and become a philanthropist. So,
oh, wow.
Sean McGinley plays Bernie. And Don, not going to butcher his last name, plays Ernie. And so Bernie and Ernie are quite the characters in this movie. I think that, like, if you're an actor and you get typecasted as these type of characters, it's got to get to you at some level, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, the characters are not pictured in the right light. So there's also Max Cash, who plays Troy. He is the stoner guy that thinks he's Steven Seagal. And then Robert Hoffman plays the very horny jock named Bluto, which is the weirdest name I've ever seen in a movie. Maya Hazen plays Lisa, who is not with her boyfriend on this trip for some reason. So she is the fifth wheel. And then Alice Grayson plays Holly, who is Troy's very supportive girlfriend. So we got these characters here. The movie starts out with, we see a woman, a blonde woman running through the woods. And we keep getting like these shots of a creepy old asylum looking place. Think of, you know, like what is it called? American Horror Story Asylum, like that kind of level, creepy, old, dilapidated, abandoned. And we're getting like, you know, snapshots of a large pot that has been spilled on the floor. And it's got like this oozing liquid coming out of it. Hands that look bloody. This is all going to be stuff that gets explained later, thankfully. But at the beginning, you don't really quite know what's going on. And you just see this chick running through the woods, panicking. I put in my notes here that the asylum looks like it was the set of a Tool music video because of how grimy it looked all the editing. It looks very like 90s grunge, you know, music video with the, I guess, special effects that they used. A lot of this was very low budget for this movie. Came out in 2007, but still pretty low budget for its time. So we get to the next scene where it's Tara, the blonde girl. And we kind of know that she was the one running in the woods. So this is kind of backtracking to, I think, what, like the week before. She's, you know, getting ready to go on this trip with a bunch of her friends. And they're going to go to Ireland. And I guess, you know, back in 2007 or the mid-2000s, friends would all like take, you know, study abroad trips or whatever, go abroad and do drugs in other countries, which sounds terrible to me. Sounds like a terrible idea. With human trafficking and all that stuff. But they're going to be in the Ireland woods in the forest. So maybe it sounds kind of nice and they're going to have like a guided tour, which is somebody that Tara had like a fling with when she did a study abroad program for college. So they're like college age kids. I want to say like at least 21 and over. But I think they had just recently graduated college or... Did they just graduate high school? Because they kept talking about a Catholic reformatory school. But I mean, that could be college too. So maybe they went to a Catholic college or something like that. But now they're kind of wanting to do their own freedom. They're adults now. They want to go do bad things. And it's kind of, you know, the stereotypical, you know, Catholic kids doing really, really bad stuff. So they're going to go see Jake and meet up with him. They do see him and he pulls up. And I just made a note here, a mental note, that all of these people look like they could be in the band Counting Crows, especially Jake could be the lead singer. And they get in this like really kind of old, not a Volkswagen van, but kind of like that, kind of like the van in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they're smoking weed out of a plastic bottle, but apparently it's called a fuck it. And it's just like a really crappy bong. Jake, by the way, is not Irish because he does not have an Irish accent. He has a British accent. So I guess he's just kind of, you know, living in Ireland, doing some tourism stuff and just kind of bumming around Ireland, having fun. They are, you know, talking about the mushrooms they're going to take, which is the psilocybin. And he's, you know, explaining the different shapes to them, how some of them look like dicks and some of them look like boobs with nipples and all that stuff. So we kind of already know from this film that it's going to be, there's going to be a level of immaturity with these characters. We get introduced to Bluto and he's very offensive. He's very pervy, no real moral compass. He's the jock character. Troy is a better guy. He thinks he's got like all these martial arts moves and all this stuff. He thinks he's cool and he's trying to harness his power of the chi or whatever. But he's kind of full of shit, you know. His girlfriend Holly, she's very supportive of him. She's actually, you know, she actually is like kind of athletic and she does have a lot of skill, but she just, you know, lets him do his thing and supports him for it. And Lisa, for some reason, Holly and Lisa hate each other. There's like some sort of jealousy rivalry chick fight thing going on between them. So I didn't really ever understand it. I thought it was kind of dumb, but we get that throughout the movie. And so they're all in the car together and they're just kind of getting prepared for this trip. And they're going to go out into the Irish woods and actually like harvest these mushrooms fresh. And so it's very important for them to be able to identify which ones are the actual ones they need to harvest, because a lot of the psilocybin mushrooms can be mistaken for death cap mushrooms. They call them death head mushrooms, I think, in this one, or death bell mushroom. But death cap is a real mushroom that a lot of people actually die from all the time, from misidentifying them as something else. Also, there are like homicide cases where people have tried to kill others with these types of mushrooms and try to play it off like they didn't know. So the mushrooms look kind of funny. And I guess props to this movie, I guess they're kind of accurate to a certain degree. Like the death bell isn't like an actual common name for it, but I think it's called a funeral bell or something like that, is like an actual mushroom that looks like psilocybin. So they're kind of going out and they need to prepare it, and they plan to do the shrooms the following day. They're going to like camp out in the woods. But while they're driving the car, and I don't know why they decided that Tara would be driving the car in a country that she's not familiar with. I mean, it's not like she was driving erratically, but still a ram had come out of the forest and she hits the ram, and it's extremely bloody when she hits it on the windshield. And, you know, they come to a screeching halt and get out of the car, and they're kind of looking for it because at first they don't know what they hit. And then they see the ram on the side of the road, you know, barely alive. It's still breathing, but they feel really bad for it that they hit it. And these dudes just kind of come out of the forest with what do they have, like axes or something. And they're just kind of watching in the distance. And I think Jake says something like, oh, this is their dinner. And so Bluto decides to like kill the ram in front of everyone. I think he like crushes its head in or something with his foot. And then Tara says to him, you know, like, that was messed up. Like, would you like that done to you? You know, like, why don't you treat it the way you would want to be treated? So, but Bluto is an asshole. So the dudes end up taking the ram into the forest. And then Jake tells the rest of the crew that they're indigenous people, which is not true. But they're just kind of like, when we first get a sight of them, they don't really seem verbal at all. They're just kind of like making grunts. Their teeth are really haggard. They kind of look a little bit like they have leprosy, you know, like their skin is really like boiled and blistered and all that stuff. They do not look great. But they're just kind of assumed to be like some feral people in the woods that kind of just eat roadkill. And then they, you know, keep on driving. There's a part where they're talking about this thing called dogging. I don't know if this is real. I didn't want to look it up. But I guess somebody like pulls over in the side of the woods, and it's a couple, and they flash their headlight 3 times. And then somebody in the woods who's like just hanging out there is like a peeping Tom or whatever. He like watches them get it on. And then at some point they join in with the shenanigans, and I don't know, it's just very weird, but it does come into play later on in this film. But I just wanted to premise that because I've never heard of that, but I'm sure there's some freaky deaky people out there that do that kind of stuff. So they continue, they get to their destination. So now they're actually, we see them like actually hunting for the shrooms. Oh, Jake decides to take all their phones, right? Because you can't really have communication with the outside world when you're tripping. It just kind of messes everything up, and he's afraid somebody will call the cops, and then they all get arrested in a country, like a foreign country. So he ends up taking their phones. So they end up going into the woods. They kind of get separated a little bit. They kind of scout out and do their own thing. At one point, I think somebody was pointing out a mushroom and like picked it. And then Jake goes, oh, you don't want to pick that one because it has like a little black dot on the top, like a little black kind of nipple looking thing. And he was telling him, this is the death bell mushroom, and it will most likely kill you. If it doesn't kill you, then the folklore is that you get revived into another dimension or portal. It's like a portal to the other world. And you get to talk to dead people, and you have like premonitions. And I thought this part was kind of weird because I don't think that Tara was present for this conversation. He was talking to either Holly or Lisa. And so I thought it was very strange that Tara was not present for this conversation. And it kind of like bites him in the butt later, because Tara ends up finding one of these and thinks that it's one of these mushrooms that is safe to eat. And she just like puts it in her mouth, like without asking anyone, which is so dumb. But had she been present for the conversation, I don't know, maybe she would have known not to eat it. But it kind of seems weird that he would mention that and she would be unaware, and then, you know, things would kind of play out the way that they do. So as soon as Tara like puts it in her mouth and starts like eating it, she starts seizing up, like essentially just having anaphylactic shock to this mushroom and the spores. And she's, you know, foaming at the mouth, and she's having like all these kind of like hallucinations. And we get like a picture of what she's hallucinating. And she's kind of having like these scenes of her friends and the future and all this stuff happening. And then in her hallucination, Jake comes up to her and kisses her, because she kind of has like this previous fling with him, and it's kind of uncertain if he likes her back. And so she's kind of, as she's tripping, she's kind of imagining that he is kissing her and being romantic with her, because that's what she wants as her subconscious. And so as he's kissing her, we realize that he's actually performing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And he brings her, you know, kind of back to life, essentially. She kind of snaps out of the seizure and she comes to. And so now, you know, they help her out to kind of get her hydrated and make sure that she, like, you know, throws up as much as she can and gets sleep. But she is tripping balls at this point. Like, she is not having a good time. But, you know, he said that if you survive the death bell, that you would get all these like crazy cool powers. So they're kind of like, while Tara is in the tent, like kind of sleeping it off, Jake and the rest of them are around this campfire, and, you know, they're asking him to tell some scary stories, and he's telling them about the asylum that we saw earlier. It was actually like a detention center for young kids. And I apologize if a little bit of this lore is shaky, but I had a hard time following with the storyline of what happened with the detention center. I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was ran by Catholic monks who started the detention center. It was like two brothers that started it. The two brothers, to no one's surprise, ended up abusing the kids. And if the kids just got too sick, they were like, oh, they committed suicide or whatever. You know, kind of like just sweeping it under the rug just to keep this whole operation going. There were these two like twin boys that were brought into the detention center. And I think one of them was like hung by the monk in front of the other, like killed in front of his brother, and pretty much said like, oh, you're the only twin now. Like, so messed up. And I think one of the twins got like his face burned. And so they made him wear like a bag over his head to hide his face, and just really messed up stuff. And what ended up happening is the twin that was kept alive, that was like really abused and tortured, he ended up harvesting a bunch of the death bell mushrooms in the forest and put them in the like soup stock or whatever that they were going to serve that night to everyone at the detention center, and killed everyone except for one of the monks. His name was Brother Black, or Black Brother. I don't know which one it was, but he always wore like a hood because he was a monk. And for some reason, he got spared. I still don't quite understand why. But now Black Brother and the Lonely Twin kind of roam the woods, and they, you know, kill people or whatever they do in the woods. And then when he was telling this story, I was like, oh shit, it was the two guys that took the ramp, right? Because those guys looked like they had been in the woods for a long time, and maybe one of them was a kid at one point. So, you know, Jake ends up, you know, telling the story to everyone, and they're all like kind of freaked out now, you know, but it's a folklore. It's a campfire tale. People decide at this point that it would be a good idea to start their trip earlier than everyone else's. So we have Holly and Troy. They decide to do the mushrooms right before they have sex. But this does not work out because I guess while they're doing it, like somebody's like on the outside of the tent and it spooks them. They think it's Troy because Troy is a perv. And then Troy gets kicked. I think Troy's sharing a tent with Lisa, and Lisa's kind of weirded out by him because he keeps making moves on her. So she's like, you know what, you can sleep outside. So Troy gets kicked out of the tent. And he's like, fine, well, if you guys are doing shrooms, I'm gonna do shrooms too. And he like takes a bunch of shrooms, like essentially their entire harvest. He just boils it up and starts drinking it. Which, funny enough, you cannot overdose on shrooms or any hallucinogen that I know of, which is kind of interesting. So even if you were to eat like a bunch, you'd probably just get sick and vomit, but you can't really like overdose from it. apparently your brain neurons can only take up so much before it's kind of like exhausted. So anyways, he's going to start tripping balls too because of how much he took. It's going to act very quickly. He just decides to like go out into the forest. I do like the effects though, how like everything's kind of whooshy and it kind of, everything has like a, what do they call it? Like a trail to it. Like, you know how like when you move something like your mouse on your monitor and it kind of has like that trailing effect. That's kind of what it looks like with the effects, which I think is very cool looking. Cause I do feel based on my research in the past that that's how it feels. So very interesting. And everything does kind of look like it's moving. So Bluto goes out into the woods. Did I say Troy earlier? I meant Bluto. I'm so sorry. Troy does not get kicked out of the tent. It was Bluto. Bluto's the pervy guy. Troy is the good guy that, and I guess they continue having sex. Like, I don't know what they ended up doing. But so Bluto goes out into the woods and he sees a cow, which is very random. This part of the movie was very random. It didn't quite match the flow of everything else or the aesthetic of everything else. So he sees a dairy cow in the middle of the woods in Ireland. And he's like, whoa, is that a fucking cow? And the cow's like, yeah, I'm a fucking cow and I can fucking talk. And they're having just like this stoner conversation with each other. And it's just really funny. It's really random too. This is actually the only scene I remembered from the movie after not have seen, like, I haven't seen it in such a long time, but this I did remember. And so he ends up like continuing his journey. After getting wisdom from the cow, and he sees like an abandoned car out there that's, you know, covered in a bunch of pine needles and stuff like that. It's been there for a while, but he remembers the whole dogging thing. And so he decides like, oh, maybe there's some people out here that want to get freaky. And he like pulls down his pants. I guess the window rolls down like a little bit and he like pulls down his pants and puts his junk in the window and he's, you know, getting some action. Which is kind of the sound effects for that action is really gross. And he even says like, oh, it's so wet. And I'm like, oh, that's really gross. And it was very quick, but it looks like he pulled out like a bunch of hair with that was attached to his skull, I think it was. And I don't know if it was like a goat head or a human head. I don't know. It was a goat head. But then he's like, what the fuck? You know, because now he's like freaked out, you know, because somebody was in there, apparently. Now they're not. So he's like looking around the car and he like peeks inside to see who's in there. And, you know, Black Brother like pulls him in and rips off his junk. He rips it off completely. And we see him of what's left. And then he gets hit in the head with like an axe, right? But then Tara wakes up and all of a sudden we're like, oh shit, it was just her dream, you know, like a premonition or whatever. And she goes outside and she sees Bluto outside and she's like, Bluto, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm talking to a cow. And she's like, just go to bed. So she ends up, you know, like helping him get back into bed so he can you know, go back to sleep. And then Lisa shows up the next morning and I guess somebody cut her hair and she assumes it's Bluto because he's gone now. He disappeared. And she's super pissed that he cut her hair, which is a dick move. Also, Bluto took the cell phones because they can't find the cell phones now. So now they have to go find him. Lisa and Holly keep having like this girl fight and they get into kind of like fisticuffs and hair pulling and I think it's Lisa that falls into, she like rolls into a ditch and she's like asking for help and she sees like a hand kind of sticking out. So she grabs it. It's Bluto. He dead. And it's funny because he keeps like wearing these rings. I don't know what they're called when they go across the what are they called? Knuckles something? The thing, the little like finger things that go, what are they called?
Oh, like brass knuckles?
Yeah, but there's like another name for them.
Knuckle dusters?
Brass knuckles. Maybe. They only go across like two of his fingers though. But anyway, so yeah. I thought that was funny because you kind of see the rings. So she knows it's Bluto, but then she pulls on it and Bluto comes like falls on her and whatnot. And so now they know that Bluto's dead, which really freaks everyone out because it looks like somebody got him good. Then they see a black brother in the woods. And so all the girls start running. And I thought this part was kind of funny, but Tara runs into a tree. She just like clonks into a tree and night, night. So now Holly gets split up from them and she ends up finding like a dilapidated shack in the woods. Guess what? It's the two guys from earlier, the two indigenous, quote, indigenous guys from earlier. And they're like, she asks, do you guys have a phone? And they're like, yeah, you can come on in and you can, you know, you can see the phone or whatever they say. And they can speak, so they know you know, English. They can talk to her. And I gotta say, you gotta be really stupid or really brave to go into that house. So she goes in and the phone doesn't work, right? And she goes, well, the phone doesn't work. And they're like, you asked us if we had a phone, and we do. You didn't ask us if you wanted to make a call or if it worked. So now she's in the house with these guys and they're being kind of creepy. She somehow gets out, I guess, and, you know, Tara is now having another, like, premonition seizure in, like, this marsh area outside the forest line, and she's imagining Holly being dead in the water, being killed, like, I guess by Black Brother in the water, like, pulling her down, and then Holly ends up like running away and she goes into like this like beaver dam thing. It's like some sort of like stick structure. And this is when she sees, I believe, the Lonely Twin, right? Which is played by Jack Gleason, but you can't really tell because there's so much like makeup and ratty hair. But she sees the Lonely Twin and he's kind of like huddled over, kind of like a Neanderthal. And she was, you know, like trying to be nice to him, I guess, trying to like put her guard down because she was, you know, needing help. She didn't want to freak him out. And I guess as soon as she did that, you know, bash her head in or whatever, killed her. So, you know, there's this premonition and Lisa catches up with Tara because she notices her seizure and she's like trying to make sure that she's okay. And then Tara tells Lisa, like, hey, Holly's dead and she's over there in the lake or in the water. And I just had like a dream about her being dead. And so Lisa goes over there. She sees some hair. She pulls on it. Guess what? It is Holly and she's dead. And Tara's telling her, you know, like Black Brother did it. He, you know, pulled her in the water and killed her. And, you know, Lisa's like, well, I'm going to be next, right? Like I'm the next one to die because everyone's getting picked off one by one. And Tara actually says, she says, no, I'm actually next to die. And again, we have this whole like rivalry thing. I'm kidding. They're like, no, I'm going to be the next one to die. And then they start slapping each other. Kidding. So Lisa runs off scared shitless because now she's like getting the fuck away from Tara because everyone who's around Tara just happens to go missing or dead. And then I guess Tara just has another premonition of dying by Brother Black. And so they kind of all get split up. So we have Jake left. We have Troy. We have Lisa. And we have Tara. That's who we have left. And they all decide to go to this abandoned asylum. A detention center to try to see if there's help. Like if there's a phone in there or if there's like possibly anyone in sight that maybe they could find their cell phones. Because again, they still don't have their cell phones, even though they know that Bluto's dead. So they're kind of all in there with their melee weapons walking around and they're kind of like bumping into each other, like Scooby-Doo style, and not really realizing that other people are in there. So they kind of spook each other out. There's a lot of like jump scenes at this part. And she, Tara actually has like a, not a pickaxe, but just like an axe for chopping wood. And she's in there to look for Jake. Troy gets stabbed by the Brother Black. And I forgot what he stabs him with. I think it's just like it's not like a ceremonial dagger, right? It's just like a piece of like X-Acto knife or something. I don't know. But Troy is not going to make it. Jake gets spooked and he runs and jumps from the second story to evade this monster that's like chasing after them. And Tara hears Jake fall from the second story and now his leg's all messed up. That was a long fall. That was like pretty ballsy for him to just go for it. Right. He didn't even try to like shimmy down the side of the wall. He just like ran and jumped out the window. He didn't even look to see he was at the bottom. He didn't hesitate. He just aimed for the bushes.
I'm out.
Have you guys seen that movie, The Other Guys? They say aim for the bushes and they just commit suicide. So random. Anyways, okay. Yes, okay. So So Jake is in the woods. He's not doing too well because then this hooded figure, you know, Black Brother, shows up and he ends up like slashing Jake or something like that in the neck with the same knife. And, you know, Tara's having her little premonition thing or whatnot. She's very conveniently having a seizure when everyone's dying, right? And, you know, she finds Jake and, you know, with his dying breath, he's like, Tara, I love you, you know, and pretty strong words too, because they haven't even like kissed throughout this whole movie. But, you know, he loves her and he tells her that. And she's like, oh, my God, Jake, don't leave me. Don't die. And now she's really freaked out because now everybody's dead. And people died pretty quickly, I got to say. Like, as soon as the first person dies, it really picks up in this film. And I think it's only like an hour and 20 something minutes. So it's a pretty quick film. It's kind of over as it starts getting going. So we see Tara gets airlifted out of the woods by a like helicopter by the Garda. I think that's what they're called in Ireland, the Garda.
Yeah.
So she gets airlifted. I'm sorry?
I was agreeing. Yeah, Garda.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never been to like that kind of part of the world. So she is in a hospital. Well, she's not in a hospital yet. They're kind of getting her out of the woods and then taking her to like an ambulance to like get her prepped to go to the hospital. So they're investigating obviously the scene because she probably told them, or she's like talking about people dying. And they also kind of see like all of, not all of the carnage, but they just kind of see the whole scene of their camp. And you got all these guys in hazmat suits kind of walking around taping things up. And we see as she's like kind of being put into the ambulance that they're pinning all of this on the two guys, Bert and Ernie. I'm sorry, Bernie and Ernie. And, you know, they're like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But they have an Irish accent. So they're like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And you got the wrong guy. Not to me, Lucky Charm. They were all out of Lucky Charms that day. It's getting pinned on them because they look shady as hell. And they're two guys in the woods eating roadkill. So, you know, there's kind of like a satisfaction there, you know, from Tara's perspective, justice is being served or whatever. But she kind of knows that that's not true because she even says, like, They didn't do it. It was actually these other two guys. They're actually supernatural, and one of them killed a bunch. And then they're like, okay, you're obviously still tripping. So they kind of play it off as her being just like still hallucinating. And so the ambulance guy, the EMT or paramedic, is kind of helping her out. And they're traveling to the hospital, and his phone, what he thinks is his phone, starts ringing. And again, this is back in the day when everyone kind of had the same ringtone. Like, it was just one or two maybe different ringtones that people could have.
Oh, so yeah.
It was very terrible. Likely, like, when a phone rang, everybody checked their phone because nobody knew whose phone it was.
Yeah.
So he pulls out his phone and or his BlackBerry or whatever, and he's like, oh, it's not mine. And then he's like looking at her like, do you have a phone? And she finds her phone in her pocket. So she had her phone the whole time. She didn't even realize it. And so her phone's ringing, and then I guess the realization of her having her phone caused this cascade of other realizations that not everything that, like, we've had an unreliable narrator this whole time, and we kind of knew that, but we didn't know to what extent. So we get like this whole montage of her killing everyone, but thinking that it, like, during the seizures, apparently she like blacks out and then she just kills them and she has no recollection that she killed them. But then thinking that it was like these, you know, folklore creatures. And I'm assuming like she killed Bluto the way that he killed the ram, and, you know, like everything that had led up to the part where she was tripping had some sort of like significance on the way that these people died. And so, yeah, I mean, Tara's the killer. That's kind of the big reveal at the end. And she kind of, you know, asks the EMT, like, can you help me? I need help. And then she fucking kills the EMT with some scissors. And then she, you know, ducks and rolls out of the ambulance. We didn't see that part. That would have been really cool to watch, though, to see her duck and roll out of the back. And then we get a shot of her running through the woods. And so we kind of loop around to the beginning credits. And that's it. That's the whole movie.
Shrooms.
PSA, don't do shrooms. Yeah. it's like Ireland's PSA for like drugs. This is their version of it.
Do drugs and you die.
Well, thank you. Exactly. If you do drugs, you will kill all of your friends and become a murderer.
Right. That's the main takeaway from this movie. Well, thank you for being our guide on this trip, Ariel.
Yes.
Oh,
thank
yeah,
you.
No problem. I'm very happy to be your shaman for this this episode.
And thank you for all the research you did on shrooms.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I have been preparing for this episode way in advance. Like, I'm talking like at least 15 years in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell my parents.
I'm sure. You're so so thorough. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, you know, it does give you the power of foresight. And I knew we were going to be doing this episode 15 years ago. So, you know, I was like, this is justified right now. I got to do this for the podcast now when I'm like, you know, 18.
Right. Exactly. See? Foresight. And luckily me and Azrael are still alive. So hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, well, we didn't die. I mean, for now.
For now.
For now. I actually saw some things, but I think it's better if you guys just don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to know. Is it Tuesday? Is it going to be on Tuesday? No, don't tell me.
No, you lived through Tuesday. But Wednesday. Wednesday, you gotta watch your back.
I'm gonna stay home in bed. Nope, that's how you go.
Yeah, right. You actually fall asleep with a cigarette in your mouth, and you're like, I don't even smoke. And I'm like, I know, right? That's the crazy part.
Nice, it was a pillow. All right. Well, this is the part of the show where we offer our insight, reviews, and ratings on the movie. And since this movie is Ariel's pick, we will start this week with Azrael and get his thoughts first.
All right. Ariel kind of said it, kind of was going to open with, but this, it did remind me of like it could easily be an anti-drug propaganda film, kind of like Reefer Madness from the 30s. You know, the mushrooms won't kill you, but, you know, the potential of the trip, you know, as they went crazy and she started killing everybody. So I really like the concept of a hallucinogenic bad trip horror film that this movie was trying to go with. Ariel kind of mentioned earlier the visual effects to get that that mushroom trip feel were I think they were done really well. But at the end, it was just basically, to me, it felt like a basic slasher film. And it had, you know, elements that have been used in other horror films, you know, numerous times. I think it had a lot of potential to be really good, but it kind of fell short of that. And it just reminds me of a lot of those subpar horror flicks in like the early 2000s. They all kind of have the same theme. And I think one of the big problems I had was with that the Jake character who was supposed to be the expert. You know, he was their guide and he kind of basically did everything you shouldn't be doing as a guide for doing this type of drug. So with that, I would have to say it's worth watching at least once to say you've seen it. So I would give this movie a 5.0 talking cows.
It's not too bad, actually. 5.0. Had to add the 0.0. He's our decimal
right in the middle
guy.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And I think you hit on it with one word, was potential. This movie did have a lot of potential. If it was fleshed out more, I think it would have been a lot better movie than what we got. Some parts of the movie I kind of lost interest, and that's maybe more on me than the movie. I don't know. It's how we feel some days. I did like, I think we talked about this, Ariel talked about this, you know, the location cinematography was pretty good. And it did look like a 90s music video, heavy metal video or some sort. And had some good effects. There's not a lot of showing the killings in this movie. So that could be good for maybe people who aren't really into bloody, disgusting type movies. And it did have a clever ending. And the final girl was actually the killer. So, spoiler alert. Sorry. I would have to say, yeah, I mean, put it on your list. If you get to it, you get to it. And I'm going to have to score it a little lower than Azrael. I'm going to go with a 4 roadside. Hold on. My portal of hell is opening up.
That's like a UFO.
All right. I'll be there in a minute, guys. All right. Yeah. I will get this 4 roadside ram road kills out of 10. Hey, I probably couldn't say that again if I tried.
That's pretty good, though. That's a lot of roadkill. You are not, like, you're not turning the wheel for no rams. Yeah, you guys kind of said everything that I felt. When this movie came out, I actually did watch this close to when it came out. So I remember thinking that the ending was really cool. But unfortunately, it just didn't really feel like fully fleshed out. It was pretty quick with the twist too. I was kind of left unsatisfied because it happened so quickly at the end. The twist only lasted, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes at the most. But then you like have this whole entire buildup for the movie. It just felt kind of not satisfying enough for how long the movie was. But it is a very quick movie. You can get through it pretty quickly. And if there are some slow spots, but it moves past that pretty well. I think the slow spots in the movie are kind of when they get lost or like broken up and they're trying to find each other. That always kind of, it's too much time for the plot to really focus on like people getting lost and trying to find each other again. It bores me to hell. So I do feel like this movie could have been a lot better. But I don't see that this type of plot line where people take drugs and then, you know, the main protagonist becomes a killer. I don't think that's really explored a whole lot. I have seen it in other movies. I can't really name them off the top of my head. And I don't want to spoil them by naming them. So maybe it's good I don't remember the titles. But it's not completely original of an idea. But it's something that I don't see quite often that I do like. It's kind of a really good twist, in my opinion. The effects were okay for the budget, but obviously you can tell it was a very low budget film. A lot of the scenes that were darker, you could tell were filmed in the daylight and they just put a blue filter on it. So there's a lot of things like that that were just kind of, you know, they just had to do it that way. I thought the acting was pretty good. I didn't think anyone was terrible, or that anyone couldn't deliver the lines they were given. I thought everybody acted their character very well and the personality very well. So I don't really like the writing and the character tropes. I feel like they're pretty cheap and kind of, I don't know, I'm just tired of seeing it. I really wish they would move on with these tropes, but it's easy, you know. And so I would say, I really, as much as I want to like this movie, I don't think it's a very good movie. but I would give it a 3 out of 3 headlight flashes out of 10.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and there you go. Shrooms 2007. If you ever have an idea for a movie or a monthly theme, just remember you can always contact us here at Stories to Dismember @gmail.com. You can also search us on social media. Just search Stories to Dismember and you'll find us TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the fun stuff. You can also leave us a message at 817-405-4196, text message or voice message, whatever you'd like to do. Well, I think that's about it for shrooms. Coming up on the next episode is going to be Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is Azriel's pick, which I think, I don't want to go out too far on a limb, is a pretty good movie, even though it's not a Michael Myers movie. Spoiler alert. So
I have never seen this movie, so really? I am excited. Yeah, I'm not into slashers. I've never been into slashers, but I like it when I'm forced to watch them because otherwise I will never pick it.
Oh. There's going to be a jingle that gets stuck in your head when you watch it. I sing it every Halloween. Most people don't know what the hell I'm talking about, so they will now after they listen to this episode.
I mean, I've watched like some of the Halloween movies, but I think I've only watched the first one and the remake that Rob Zombie did. That's the only two I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, I think you might be pleasantly surprised with this one.
Yeah.
At least I hope you are.
Okay. I mean, I'll give it a shot. You know, it's called Season of the Witch, so that sounds cool.
It's a good song. Alrighty. Well, that's it for this week. Any last words before we take our trip into the woods?
Don't eat the nipple ones.
Yeah, maybe do mushrooms at home. Yeah. Don't go in the woods in another country.
Yeah, maybe have your mushrooms with a little bit of butter and garlic and just saute that and then put it on a nice, fat, juicy steak. That's how you should be doing shrooms on a weekend.
Yeah, that's a good recipe. Write that down. Alrighty. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Stories to Dismember podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends, subscribe, and leave a rating. You can contact us at storiestodismember@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also follow us on TikTok at Stories to Dismember. The music for Stories to Dismember is provided by Windfeather. Can't wait to hang out with you next time. Bye-bye.